Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk about Christmas at the Cathedral. It is that time of year again. Dan Goler and Mark Consemius, the two creative minds behind Christmas at Cathedral, will join us. We'll talk about the process of coming up with this year's show, talk about some of the details of the show. I hope you will stick around. You'll also find out how you can get tickets. So stick around for that part of our program today. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Brianna Wingen with the first and second reading. Monsignor Charles Mangan with the gospel.
A reading from the first book of Kings. In those days, Elijah the prophet went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks there. He called out to her, "Please bring me a small cupful of water to drink." She left to get it, and he called out after her, "Please bring along a bit of bread." She answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose, but first make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth.'" She left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for a year, and he and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf. Not that he might offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have had to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice. Just as it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this judgment, so also Christ, offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. The word of the Lord.
Our reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and as a pretext recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she from her poverty has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin. Here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, displays of support were prevalent recently during the Life Chain in Sioux Falls on Respect Life Sunday. Along 41st Street in Sioux Falls, the pro-life advocates gathered and displayed signs while praying as part of their effort. You can read and see more about the Life Chain in the November edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, Ethiopia's bishops welcomed the election of the nation's first female president, Salih Work Zewde, and said they were pleased that women are getting their rightful place in the development of the country. Zewde, who is 68 and a career diplomat, has served in a variety of posts, including as Ethiopia's representative to the United Nations and as Director General of the UN offices in Nairobi, a position, that is, in which she met Pope Francis in 2015. The Ethiopian Catholic Church believes that President Sali Work Zewde, who has years of impressive diplomatic experience, will further strengthen the leading role Ethiopia is playing in the region and further enhance the soft power of the country at an international level, said the church statement. The statement noted that for years, the Catholic Church has worked in the empowerment of women, providing young girls with education and other opportunities so that they may explore their potential. It said it hoped Zewde's election would inspire women and young girls throughout the country to recognize their potential and strive to become influential actors in the international arena. In other news, a Pakistani Catholic priest living in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is grateful to learn that Asia Bibi, a Catholic convicted of violating Pakistan's strict blasphemy laws, has had her death sentence overturned. Father Tariq Isaac, chaplain of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia's Pakistani Catholic community, called the announcement very good news for all the people who are raising their voice for justice. However, he urged Catholics and other Christians to pray for the safety of Asia Bibi, her family, and all others convicted of the blasphemy laws in Pakistan. Brazilian President-elect Jair Bolsonaro, a Catholic who campaigned to rid the nation of corruption, will take office January 1st with a conservative moral agenda. I want to thank God for this mission because Brazil is in a somewhat complicated situation with an ethical, moral, and economic crisis. I'm sure that I am not the most qualified, but God enables the chosen ones, he told the media after his late October victory with a statue of Our Lady of Aparecida, Brazil's patron saint, behind him. The president's victory had been linked to the support of the evangelical community in Brazil. Although Brazil is the most populous Catholic country on earth, the number of evangelicals has been growing at a rapid pace in recent decades. Aid agencies and Catholic officials are sounding the alarm on Yemen's spiraling humanitarian crisis, calling on the combatants to end the war and make badly needed assistance available. Yemen is facing the largest humanitarian crisis of this time, according to the United Nations. The impoverished nation at the tip of the Arabian Peninsula is now the most food insecure population in the world due to the four-year-old conflict. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Kind of just adds to our list of places we were talking about last week with Deacon John Devlin. So appreciate that news story, Gene. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Mark Consemius and Dan Goler, the geniuses behind Christmas at Cathedral. I have to come up with a new name every year for you guys because...
don't tell my wife. I hope she's not listening to this.
This is the...
she'd use a different adjective.
22nd annual Christmas at the Cathedral, the theme this year, Unto Us. Mark produces and directs, and Dan is the music director for Christmas at the Cathedral. It's been such a nice partnership for the two of you, and I think... one of the highlights, I'm guessing, for each of you is that you get to work with the other to produce something like this each year.
Absolutely. I'd call it a friendship. Yeah. More than a partnership. It's been a great blessing.
Absolutely. For both of us, I think and it's changed over the years. I was just realizing we're doing our 10th show together this year. So it's been a long but very good relationship and a good friendship, as Mark says as well.
Absolutely. And Jerry, there's 22nd year, so there's 12 years prior to that, and this year I can't help but think of the great friendship I was able to develop through Christmas at the Cathedral with Ron Schellenkamp, who passed away this year, and we have grateful hearts mourning his loss, but I'm really grateful we can dedicate the concerts this year to Ron's memory.
That's a beautiful thing. Ron was a longtime music director at the Cathedral of St. Joseph. He also was at O'Gorman High School for many, many years. And perhaps most importantly, he just loved good music. Yeah, he just was enthralled. He was enthralled with it, really.
And a great message. And, I mean, he was 60-some years here at the Cathedral. So this was on the tail end of his 60 years. And he was still, like, excited and open to new ideas and new ways to communicate to people. And he encouraged me to think outside the box. Mm-hmm.
That's great. It's great to tie in this year's performances to honor him in that way. And people will see that, I think, in the program, too, as they get the program for Christmas at the Cathedral this year. Let's talk a little bit about the theme. And I have to tell you guys, this is, I do a Catholic Views pretty much every week of the tradition of it as well, of talking about the show in advance, as much to let people know what's going on as to encourage them to buy tickets, which we certainly do because— you just don't want to miss it. It's a great performance. It's a great opportunity to kind of prepare yourself for Christmas. But let's talk about this year's production. Mark, I know that you kind of hide yourself away in the summer months and find a quiet space and try to figure out, what are we going to talk about this year at Christmas at the Cathedral? How do we tell the story still another new way? And you've come up with another new way.
Well, really all credit seriously goes to the Holy Spirit. And Dan and I spend a fair amount of time back and forth, banging around ideas, usually kind of immediately process and evaluate what we could do different in the future. We also talk about themes that sort of evolves as we pray about it, reflect on it. And then we spend some serious time together before I go off. Really blessed to be able to have that opportunity where I can go off for a week to actually then write the script. And Dan and I are back and forth even during that week. It's really a privilege to be able to think about the incarnation, to reflect on God's great love for us. What better thing to talk about and think about? And I am amazed. It's a story that it bears repeating, but it continues to, at least for me personally, I just learned something more about God's immense love for us through the incarnation. Every year I learn something new and different, and it's never repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
Same for me. It's a privilege, really, to have the chance to work with Mark and just to sort of reimagine what Christmas is all about each year, because it's a story that we're all familiar with, and yet somehow it continues to inspire and inform our lives. And that's really a great privilege to be able to think about that, the two of us creatively, but then to share that with the community and have everyone else come. And I think the purpose of storytelling is that ultimately, if we're doing a good job of telling a story, then the people who hear the story see themselves in the story as a part of it as well. And that's really our hope each year, is that we rediscover something new about the Christmas story and what the incarnation means to us personally. And then while doing that, we hope that it's just an opportunity to share that with others who come and experience it with us.
So what does it mean, Dan, to you as a man of faith? And you both are obviously men of faith, but what does it mean to you as a man of faith to be able to do that for others, really to be an evangelist?
Yeah, well, for me, I mean, music and the arts is all about storytelling, really, ultimately. I mean, we're always trying to communicate something as artists whenever we compose or conduct or whatever it is that we do. And I believe even worship itself, there's a lot of, you know, every time you go on Facebook or online, everybody has a new blog about what the true meaning of worship is, you know, and there's all this debate. Yep. I think ultimately, though, when we worship together as God's people, we're retelling our story. We're rediscovering our story. I mean, the Mass is rich with all of the different elements, the Old Testament, the prophets, the New Testament, the readings and the liturgy, and all those things are really just a way for us to rediscover and retell our story. And as we celebrate that as a people, then we have the opportunity to see ourselves as a part of that story. And so we see that we ourselves are a part of an ever unfolding story that relates to the past, but also going forward.
That's that sense of the, of we live in time.
Exactly.
We're talking about eternity.
It's an eternal story.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And we're just one little blip of it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. And I'm guessing most of the guests that come, most of the people that come to Christmas at the Cathedral, you know, they don't really necessarily have that all in mind. They're coming to, they maybe think they're just coming to be entertained, but there's more to it.
There absolutely is. And I think that's one of the great privileges and pleasures that Mark and I have in working on this, is that, as I said, we always experience something new and inspiring. And really our goal is for people that come to walk away. We always say, I mean, if we've done our job well, then hopefully people walk away and have an opportunity to think, I'm ready to really celebrate Christmas and what the true meaning of the Christmas season is about this year after I've been able to be a part of Christmas at the Cathedral.
And then, so we're going to talk a little bit about the theme here, but what comes first, the story or the song? How do you, or is this part of the back and forth? That, because I imagine, Dan, you probably have some songs in mind, and Mark, maybe you've got an idea of where you want to go from scripture or from whatever else. How do you balance that all out?
I think over the years it's evolved.
It's not arm wrestling, is it?
No.
In the beginning, well, it's not a competition.
Less and less over time.
Yeah. It truly is talking about how do we best, most effectively communicate. And we, in the beginning, I remember it used to be coming across a beautiful piece of music, and then we'd sort of build theme around that. But we realize it, you know, it's a bit riskier in a sense. We're going off on faith even more. But let's talk theme first, and let's have theme drive, and mm-hmm. trust that the music and the ideas to embellish that will come forth. And especially the last couple years, Jerry, you referred to scripture. Dan is the one who challenged me. He said, you know, Mark, it's great some of the words you come up with, but why even come up with words? They're already there in scripture.
Yeah.
Let's do something that's only scripture. And last year it was St. Paul, who wasn't even at Christmas, you know, at the birth. And he's reflecting on it in his own life and his own conversion, never using the word Christmas. That was so beautiful, so cool. There was not one word that we sort of came up with other than, you know, being able to make sense of it. There may be a the or a whatever that we'd add to it, but it was all scripture from St. Paul. And this year it's Isaiah.
So I was just going to say, so Paul wasn't far enough removed from the actual Christmas.
He was after.
You had to go 700 years before Christ's birth to use Isaiah.
Yeah, and you know, we've heard that Jesus' birth, the birth of the Son of God, God sending us his only begotten Son, is fulfillment of prophecy, but I've never really dug into it like this and actually live into those words. So we took Isaiah and the beautiful, beautiful prophecies from Isaiah, the words that he said, and it's amazing what the Jewish people back then and all people needed, all humanity needed 700 years before the birth of Christ, same things we need now.
Yeah.
We desire for the Prince of Peace. We so need the Prince of Peace, and we so need to have the fulfillment of God's kingdom, and it came through this most unlikely scenario of this homeless family at the time in this most humble surrounding through the most vulnerable, this baby. It still amazes me. And to hear it prophesied and then fulfilled through the incarnation. And now we're looking at it from 2,000 years afterwards. So we really are blessed to be living in a time when we can reflect on Isaiah's words and see its fulfillment. And then be able to see its fulfillment in us.
Yeah, it's the time that we live with as human beings. But really, we're talking about the things of eternity and how they all flow together. Amazing how many different songs there are that use those words unto us.
Yeah, it's from Isaiah 9. It's a popular scripture.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit like the Christmas story. We all read Luke chapter 2 and know those almost by heart, you know, because we hear that story every year. And the prophecies from Isaiah are similar.
They are.
And so, again, this opportunity to use art, music, drama, the arts as a collaborative effort to really bring to life the truth of these stories in a beautiful way is a great opportunity for us. And so what we see with Isaiah is the familiar unto us, you know, the prophecies of Christ coming, but also the context of this idea of what it means to have a kingdom rooted, ruled over by the Prince of Peace,
right?
Which is something that I think is a really pertinent message for us today, one that everybody desires. Mark and I were talking when we were working on this, it was around the time that they had the royal wedding last spring. And so there was not a controversy, but a lot of people were really surprised by the Anglican presiding priest at the wedding reading from Isaiah.
Right.
And he read the passage about how we needed to pound our spears into pruning hooks and, you know, our weapons of war into plowshares, and that we will not practice war anymore, but we will be brothers and all this kind of stuff. Powerful words. And I think a lot of us forget that some of these, even those of us that are maybe familiar with scripture, it becomes part of our consciousness, but sometimes we forget the context. And so I think Christmas at the Cathedral is a really beautiful way to give people a context to hear and experience the story that scripture relates to us so powerfully.
Yeah, absolutely so. We're talking with Dan Goler and Mark Enzimas this morning about Christmas at the Cathedral. It's coming up December 13th through the 16th, Thursday, Friday, two shows on Saturday, two shows on Sunday. And I know you also have brought back performers that are familiar to our audiences because you have all these wonderful songs. They have to be sung. Mm-hmm. And you have two, I think, pretty popular ones that you've had in the past.
Yeah, we're really excited to welcome back Mike Eldred, who folks don't know it, Mike was a longtime performer on Broadway, lead role in Les Mis as Jean Valjean. And I will tell you, to me, I think already I can tell it's going to be a highlight of this year's production. There's a time when we're reflecting on the scripture. It says where Mary took all these things and reflected on them in her heart. And during that moment, Mike is going to sing Bring Him Home, which is a song from Les Mis, which is just really mm-hmm. powerful and beautiful. And I can't imagine anybody who sings it as well as Mike.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, you don't think of that as necessarily a Christmas song, but boy, does it fit with this theme. Yeah,
it does. Yeah, I mean, what's interesting too is I think we have 5 or 6 different versions of Unto Us in yeah. the show. So you know, repetition is a good thing for
Absolutely.
Teaching. And so, but interesting how many different artists and songwriters have had different ways of expressing the truth of Scripture. And they're all equally powerful and they're all different approaches. I mean, you have 250 years ago, you know, Handel's Messiah, and then we have pieces that have been written just within the last 2 to 3 years. So that's the beautiful thing about Christmas, though. We celebrate our traditions and our rituals and our things that remind us, and they're a bit nostalgic of why it is we're celebrating the season. We all have family traditions and those kind of things. And yet each year we want to find new ways to rediscover mm-hmm. the truth of it and celebrate that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're also excited to have Shelley Jennings back. She's a Nashville recording artist and just a terrific voice and great stage presence as well. Oh my gosh, the song Who Would Have Dreamed, which is, you'll hear early on in the concert, is it's just gorgeous. What a great message. And Shelley, she sells it. And because she's not selling it, it's so genuine and sincere expression of her own personal faith and using these great gifts God has given her in the beautiful venue of the cathedral. It's with the orchestra. That in itself, I feel like after 2 or 3 numbers, you'll have your money's worth. You may want to leave, but I hope you'll stay.
Oh, stick around. There's more.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear Dan's arrangement of Behold the Lamb of God. It's a fairly contemporary piece that's a duet that Mike and Shelley will sing, Behold the Lamb of God. It's by Laura Story. It's just a gorgeous piece.
Mm-hmm. I know some years, Dan, you actually write music particular to the theme. Mm-hmm. Did you do some of that again this year?
Well, we have a piece that I wrote a couple of years ago, setting of Mary's Magnificat, My Soul Doth Magnify the Lord. So we brought that back for the part of the show that talks about Mary's rejoicing at the news that she's going to bear the Son of God. And so we brought that one back, and I'm excited to hear Shelley sing that because that's going to be amazing. But, you know, this show actually has more new music. We usually have about 18 selections mm-hmm. each year. Half of those, 9 of those are new pieces to this year's show. So it's a lot of new material.
Yeah. And so you arrange it all.
Yeah, I have to kind of work out the details.
Because you got
to
get the orchestra and the choir and the soloists, and you got to get it all working
Everybody
together.
Everybody has to be on the same page, literally. So, So there's a lot of coordinating with all that. And each year we have different people that participate, like Shelley and Mike and whoever. So we always try to tailor everything to our artists and our personnel that are going to participate. So.
And the other thing I'd like to add, in case, if you haven't been to Christmas Cathedral, I know I'm biased, but I encourage you to do it for yourself. Because it truly is a concert with great meaning, but also with a cause. It's the money's raised thanks to our generous sponsors. All of the money goes to 2 different endowments, beacons of hope in our community, in our region. One of them, the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House, which is an emergency homeless shelter, the endowment for the ongoing care of that, and the endowment for the ongoing care of the Beacon of Hope, the cathedral, for its the structure that it is, this beautiful, civic, sacred landmark in our community. And can I just say, Jerry, yesterday's scripture reading in the Catholic Church talked about, I think it was from Philippians, where Paul was saying,
it's from the gospel. I know
Jesus
where you're going.
Said, if you hold a banquet, don't invite people who are going to pay you back. It literally says, invite people who can't repay you. And believe it or not, a restaurant in town called and said, I know on Wednesday night you invite the homeless and vulnerable in our community to perform the dress rehearsal for them. And they said, we want to provide dinner for them before the concert. And these are folks who can't repay, but they pay us 1,000-fold to give us this privilege to be able to tell the story of the incarnation to them. So really excited. These are guests that night at the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House, the banquet, and St. Francis House, who thanks to School Bus Incorporated and many other people who pitch in, we have free busing for them. They come over. We're going to give them dinner, perform the second half for them. And then afterwards, people donate desserts and stuff, and they come downstairs. And so it's just a great experience, I think, of what really of Christmas. And in so many ways, it's expressed. So excited to be able to have this concert with a message and a concert with a cause.
Yeah, that's the beauty, I think, of what you guys have built, is that there's a lot of different elements that kind of go around it. It's not just the shows. There's now other things that kind of go around it. And I know you still involve all the kids that are involved. Maybe some of the ones that Dan teaches at Harmony are involved in the production as well. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but it's just a nice community event.
Yeah, it really is. And can I just highlight that we have our own orchestra. It's the Christmas at the Cathedral Orchestra, thanks to Scott Olson. He's the manager, if you will. He pulls the orchestra members together. Dan rehearses with them. They've all got the music already and working on it. And then we have I'm just so excited and grateful to our volunteer Christmas at the Cathedral Choir, made up of members from all across our community of various Christian denominations. I believe we have two pastors who are singing this year, so they're very busy. You can imagine during the Advent Christmas season, and they want to sing. And so this is a concert that does bring the community together.
Well, it's always a marvelous event. I know it's going to be again. Unto Us is the theme. The date's again December 13th through the 16th. You can get tickets by going to the local Hy-Vees in Sioux Falls area. The Hy-Vee stores have them. You can call 605-988-3788. You can go online at ccfesd.org. So lots of ways to get your tickets. I hope everybody comes and fills the place again. It's a great event. And it will be broadcast, if you can't get to it, it will be broadcast afterward.
It will be on Christmas evening on KELLAN television stations across South Dakota, parts of Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, from 6:30 to 8 p.m., uninterrupted 90-minute broadcast. So really, truly, everybody has access to this beautiful message.
All right, guys, thanks so much. Dan Goler, Mark Consemius, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jerry.
Gene, you're a man of trivia, so I know you know the answer to this. Veterans Day.
It is.
The source of it is?
Is the signing of the armistice at World War I, which was on the 11th day of the 11th month at 11:11 at local time in France.
Honor all our veterans today. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.